Hey, welcome to Bad Play Style, a book club style podcast where we all get together, have played the same game, and discuss. What do we do on this podcast, my best friend Owen, that the young people might be offended by?
We say bad words.
Keenan, my other best friend, what do we do on this podcast that the old people might be offended by?
Yo, we're going to ruin all the stories. We're going to spoil everything.
Such as, par exemple, did you know that the boss, big boss, and biggest boss from the Metal Gear Solid franchise are actually the bears from Goldilocks?
And welcome to Bad Playstyle. My name is Matt.
I'm Keenan.
Hey, I'm Owen.
And we played Dishonored 2. I don't know why we did that. You've told me several times, but the knowledge just kept falling right out of my brain.
I wanted to play a game that was like Prey, but not Prey, for one.
Oh, that makes me want to hit you in the face.
I also wanted to talk about some of the level design in this game.
Like, metaphorically, it's like an alarm clock response. Yeah,
I think this game is a more interesting game than Prey.
I will agree with you there. But before we get into that, we need to talk about that this is our book club style podcast where we swear a lot and are going to ruin the game.
Spoil the hell out of
but
it.
Before we do
the
any
deep story of this game,
of that is we need to talk about hey, what you've been playing lately. And you don't need to talk long, you don't need to talk hard, but you do need to talk a little bit. You just give me a list.
I don't even know how to not talk hard. Who's going first? Should I?
Yeah, yeah. You're going first.
All right.
We are both looking at you.
If you're asking that question.
The Yulemas has come and gone, and I was given a PlayStation 4 Pro by my girlfriend. So I've been playing a lot of Dad of War, and it's pretty cool. It's like the best character action game I've ever played, and it's very good at the things it does.
Yeah, but isn't every character action game the best character action game you've ever played while you're playing it?
Well, and also, like, they all grow on each other in a barnacle-ass way that, like...
What is any interesting thing that sets Dad of War apart from any other character action game?
Actual character
there's
development.
There's only one button in the QuickTime events.
That was a terrible answer.
Yeah, nailed it.
Okay.
So,
like, if someone asks me, like, hey, I heard this game's better than the others, what have you heard? It's like, I heard the QuickTime events.
I would say actual character development would be the biggest thing that happens.
There's some good character development, and the world they've built for this game is it's rich enough visually that it makes me want to look around and things, which is very cool. Like, I think a game that big and open worldy needs that.
Okay.
So I've been playing that, and it's pretty good. And
I've been doing a thing I haven't done in a very long time, which is sit and watch someone else I know play games. I really haven't done this since, like, before high school. I remember I used to go over to Steven's house all the time, and this is why I'm very familiar with, like, the old Metal Gear Solid games, even though I've never played any of them.
Yeah.
Is we sat there for hours, like, trading off who would play. Yeah. I would never play because I didn't want to. Those games looked annoyingly, like, persnickety.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, all the Metal Gear Solids after one, you know, we played all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's cool. It knows when it's being absurd, so the dialogue gets to be this point where, like, one of the characters is like, you do realize what you just said, and you're like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're doing it. And they just, like, kind of poke fun at, like, I flipped an entire temple.
Okay.
That's a thing I did. And, like, they poke fun at it in a character interaction way, but it's also, like, tongue-in-cheek game knows what it's doing bullshit.
Writing's good. Yeah,
it's nice.
It's interesting. Okay, that's all you have to say.
Yeah, and then, like, I've been playing Warframe some, which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird that you're playing Warframe and I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you have all the stuff I'm after, so, like,
yeah. Owen,
I played nothing new. I went back to all my video game comfort food after Thanksgiving. And played, like, RimWorld and Deep Rock Galactic. And I even booted up my old Star Trek phone game once on my computer in one evening and spent, 25 minutes clicking on cards.
Damn.
And then closed it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have nothing to bring to the table today.
Okay. Cool. I mean, you have useful perspectives about Dishonored.
Yeah, no, I mean specifically this segment right now. I have nothing to offer.
You said everything you've got.
Yeah,
got it.
With further sort of marination in the two last updates for Warframe, which would be Empyrean and the Old Blood, mm-hmm. I think they were both underbaked and could have done with being released after the new year. Like, the numbers are bad in them. There's a core of something fun there, but they're not what was promised, and they're making several mistakes about what's fun about their game.
Are you saying it needs tuning?
It needs tuning is taking it lightly.
Okay.
I think Old Blood itself just needs to be rejiggered whole hog, because it's a slot machine that each pull of the handle takes almost an entire days of playtime.
Ooh. Yeah, that's
But as soon as you get all 13 things out of the slot machine, you have no reason to revisit the slot machine. So again, it's that sort of island of content feel that WoW used to have.
They're very good at like accidentally doing that to themselves in Warframe too.
Right. Like, and so they need to figure out, and I think they're smart enough to figure out, but they don't take the time. They're just like, they have this like content treadmill that they're on, that it's like, we need to release new content every 3 months or the player base leaves us. Because I think some shit happened in either 2017 or 2018, whenever the Old Blood, or I can't even remember the names of these updates. One of the updates came out, but there was this huge drought of nothing, mm-hmm. sort of between it and the last drop of content. And they lost a lot of content creators and they lost a lot of players to Destiny.
Sure.
During
because
that.
Destiny brought and something out in that time.
Yeah, and they dropped a big ass update in that time, and I think they're shit scared of that happening again, which is like operating with that profit motive, operating with that that fear motive is not a good way to
It's like a profit motive, but it's also like a keeping the lights on motive.
Yeah,
like we want to keep on getting to make Warframe.
It's, right. It seems weird to me because like they drop something if they'd taken the time to drop something the way you're talking about, I feel like you'd get more attention. You wouldn't have people like you who have expectations.
I think sort of the issue is that we have this huge track record of them dropping these really good content packs, and then they got our hopes up with the last TennoCon drop during the summer. It was like, here are the things.
Look
we
at
have,
all this dope shit.
This dope shit
do.
We have for the next 6 months. And then when it actually came out, it was nothing like that demo. And that demo, because they've always sort of prided themselves on not doing like scripted demos the way that a lot of companies do.
And
but it
was
very clear
demo.
that was kind of a scripted demo and not what the end product. Like, there was a disconnect between Steve, inventor of the lightning gun, and the actual implementation in game, where somewhere along the pipeline, some manager changed it in a fundamental way to make it better for sort of their end profits and us engaging with the game, but worse from a gameplay perspective of actually being fun.
So like the meat was taken out of it. Kind of.
I don't really feel like that's a good analogy.
No?
Just
okay.
There's a disconnect between the vision that was planned and what actually ended up coming out.
Huh. Okay.
And there's certain aspects of it, like certain aspects of fighting enemies in the Railjack mode are just over or under tuned and need to be changed in a way to make them more fun.
Okay.
And then the Old Blood, I think, is just total crap and like a terrible system. That's
the one with the Kuva dudes.
That needs to be integrated, but because like the whole point was integrating your other systems, but it's again, it's this island, right? Like if I
still don't even have one of those dudes, and I've been playing for like a week.
Because the best thing in Warframe is if you're doing something and suddenly you chance upon an ability to gain progress in another area,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a mad dash. It's like the machine events mm-hmm. in.
I was wondering. I was about to mention that. Ask if that's a similar thing.
Yeah. So like the best times those types of things happen. I remember back in the day when we first got bosses that invaded you based on what you did.
Yeah. Okay. So, everyone, fucking perk up and let's do this.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
So like, you needed to sort of be ready and adapt. It's like it's like
there's a $100 bill on the ground. However, it's at the bottom of a storm drain. So roll up your sleeve and begin get ready to snake your arm around some stuff.
Well, and if you happened to bring the Warframe that's good at navigating storm drains, you're going to have an advantage in this thing. Yeah. And if you didn't, you're going to have to think on your feet. Right. And it's not going to be impossible, but it is going
it's
to be
require
hard.
More.
You are going to have to put gum on the end of that stick.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, there's I remember when Invasions first came out in Warframe, it really reminded me of Heat Signature's post-failure gameplay,
mm-hmm.
right? Where mm-hmm. everything that's fun about Heat Signature is fucking up and then playing in that space.
Yeah, it's hot soup, let's go.
Yeah, like, hot soup on the floor, yeah. let's figure it out, yeah. right? And so, you know, in Warframe, I remember there's a boss that invades you and he turns off any, like, channeling type powers that you have, any powers that are, like, a continuous effect. He turns those off. As a certain Warframes are just kind of fucked when he shows up. And, like, some of the most fun I ever had in that game was having to deal with that situation and figure out ways in the level to deal with
right.
this guy who's turning my best options off.
Right. And this is a game where you're a fucking anime space ninja, right? Uh-huh. Like, this game is all about being overpowered, mm-hmm. and then those instances were really cool because suddenly you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, the thing you're relying on is gone, well, no, or...
It's you still are, but not in the way that you're
right,
used to.
Right,
right.
You can't just smash the same
button. You need to remember why this Warframe is better than just hitting four and forgetting.
Right.
Right? Like, you need to use your other options.
Right.
Right? Which is what Heat Signature is all about.
Right.
Something it keeps reminding me of is, do you remember after we did our Heat Signature episode, they did that update where they added all
those guys
yeah.
are great.
Yeah. And when it came out, everyone was like, oof, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, they're and then I started playing with them and they're great.
They're restricting the way I play. I don't like it. And it's like, no, actually, they are like the best thing that's
happened.
They're
actually forcing you to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm using shit I never used before.
Yeah.
They're predictable in a way that other soldiers aren't, so you can like manipulate them.
Hey, are we done talking about games we played recently?
I think
because this is excellent. Segue into
sure.
things I want to say about Dishonored 2.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's some echoes here.
Yeah. So moving into Dishonored 2. I have a really hard time in Dishonored 2 using any options that I consider suboptimal, which are most of them.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that way.
So there's like all these videos, you know, you see online or like even in like the training videos in the powers or technology menu where it's like, oh, you can pull off these sick combos. But it's like, hey, you know the best combo in the game? Sneaking up behind him and clicking.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like.
And anything that gets you to that faster.
Yeah. Anything that gets me to this faster. Or smoother, yeah. such as Evil Eye or Blink.
Yeah.
Did we all play as Corvo Itano?
No, I did not play as Corvo.
You played as Emily?
Yeah.
I've played both, so I can...
How was Emily?
It's fine. I'm going to describe the powers I use.
Sure.
Because I don't know what Corvo's moveset is, and so I don't know how different or similar they are. I had I guess I would just call it a grappling hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would call it the world's most fiddly grappling hook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason I don't like it is I play a lot of Deep Rock Galactic, and I started playing a lot of Scout in the last month,
mm-hmm.
and that game has one of the best grappling hooks I've ever used in a game.
It's true.
And so the limitations on this thing constantly drive me insane.
So I think, like, thinking about it like a grappling hook versus Deep Rock definitely makes it seem like crap, but if you actually, like, if you've played as Corvo and you've used his Blink, it's actually a huge improvement in a lot of areas on what that already was. So,
a lot of these levels are designed with a lot of verticality,
mm-hmm.
and the I forget what the ability is called, the not grappling hook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to continue to unfairly compare it to a grappling hook. it won't shoot you over a certain type of arc.
Mm.
You can't really fling yourself with it.
I just mean like you can't go up with it very much.
Right.
You can go up with it like a little bit.
Yeah.
And the level, a lot of the levels are designed with a lot of verticality, and it suggests a space where I could use it in a fun way where I'm fucking murder Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I'm getting up on the ceiling and behind people and dropping down behind them, and it never played that way. And even when I would try and just use it in a combat to like get behind someone, it was so clumsy to swap to it, blink, and then swap back to like my pistol
mm-hmm.
or, you know, yeah. like, then the other power I got, I think it's Evil Eye. It's fucking Auspex from Vampire the Masquerade. Yeah. I can see
through walls and shit.
Yeah, see bad guys and shit through walls. And then I use the decoy a lot.
Yeah, decoy's really good on her.
I'd mostly use it when I panic, just like shit went bad. Oh, there's three of me. Good luck. And like also they
good way to go.
They did that thing where your bamboozling hologram, if you spec into it enough, like it is a simulacrum of you and will actually fight and do damage.
Yeah. Which is dope.
Yeah.
I like the one where when they kill it, it turns into dust that confuses them.
Yeah.
And then you can just walk right up to them and kill them.
Yeah.
And I think those were all the powers I used. I didn't invest super deep on a lot of powers. I didn't spend a lot of time hunting down runes and bone charms.
Okay.
And, I found the rune and bone charm system didn't excite me at all.
The bone charms kind of suck.
Well, and even just the idea of like hunting down runes and levels so I can like incrementally power up my stuff.
It's just
like, it's the same beef I had with control. Like I am sick of chasing down currencies to increase my firepower by 5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this goes to a larger beef that you've had, which I'd love for you to speak to now, which is, hey, do something different with your game.
Yeah.
And you said something to me, which is like, the fact that control is such a by the numbers play it safe game should factor more heavily into its game of the year contention.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't.
Right. Everyone's looking at it from the technical visual and the things.
And the narrative.
Yeah.
Not the narrative, the world design and the writing of the world.
Yeah.
The actual story of control isn't that complicated or interesting, and at the end, kind of ends with a wet fart.
Yeah.
Like, the actual story of control, when you write it down in a linear sequence of events...
You go there and you do the thing.
Like, I beat the boss fight encounter at the end of that game and assumed there was an actual boss fight coming after it. Because it was so...
Right.
Like, it was hard. Right. But, like, it wasn't...
It didn't feel like a finishing note. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean,
go
listen to our episode on Control if you want to hear more about our beefs with Control.
So I played Super Murder Corvo.
Oh, yeah. I went Super Chaos.
Yeah. So
I did not.
So I had already played this game before I picked it as like super sneaky no kill run on Emily. And Owen, did you get the range upgrade to your travel move?
I don't remember.
Okay. It's big. So if you miss that, I can understand.
Yeah,
Does it let me go up more?
It gives you a longer reach in general, so up more becomes
a thing. But the distance that you can leap does not translate to vertical distance that you can leap
it
with.
Does it. In that case.
That when you pitch up with that ability, its range falls off a cliff.
Well, it's an arc, but yeah.
The range of it when you get the range upgrade makes it a much more usable tool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
What if the tool didn't suck?
You're right.
From the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
What if I didn't have to spend points?
You're right. Like that's absolutely fair, especially in the second game where this is the original traversal mechanic.
You shouldn't have to engage with the upgrade systems to make a tool base usable.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's absolutely fair.
Like, it should be rewarding system mastery, not applying base function.
Yeah.
This is one of my huge problems with Prey's upgrade system.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's the same team, right? Like, it's the same company. And so, like, there's a certain amount of those design philosophies are going to be used again because it worked that time, right? I really liked... So the reason I skipped over Dishonored 1 for our podcast is that Dishonored 1 is all about, hey, look at these powers. Hey, we barely made a level. Go. Dishonored 2 is the progression of that where let's make some interesting environments for this. So, like, the Clockwork House...
We know what the character is capable of.
Right, right. So the Clockwork House and the time travel mission and, like...
I have a huge beef with the time
travel mission. The time travel mission, the second time through was way easier, but, like, that mission sucks the first time.
No, that's not my beef with it. The mission's fine.
Yeah.
My beef with this is I played Dishonored 1, and I did my normal, like, I'm a Fractus game thing, and I just beat every single inch of Dishonored 1, and this game has almost the same story beats as Dishonored 1, and a lot very samey-feeling levels that are, to be fair... better designed because they respect the player at all.
Yeah.
but then the one new thing this game chooses to do, besides the we're not sure whether the players would be mad if we made Corvo not the main character this time, so we just hedged our bets and did both.
Yeah.
Thing, besides that cowardly move, was the...
Oh man, can you imagine the rage if you had to be a girl?
God, yeah. But that's the thing is ultimately...
I feel like I don't have a good enough handle on the temperature of that fan base, because there's certain fan bases where, like, if the protagonist is suddenly female in the sequel, they will lose their minds and set the building on fire. And there's some fan bases that won't, and I just don't know Dishonored.
So, like, in Dishonored 1, you're saving her.
I wasn't finished when I thought on this game, what it did differently. But yeah, the capital G gamers would light their own dicks on fire if they had to play as a girl in their murder fantasy simulator.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so the one new thing besides that cowardly two characters thing that they did was they stole Titanfall 2's best level.
And made it slower.
Okay. Do you know when Titanfall 2 came out in relation to this game?
I guess I don't. Yeah.
They came out within a week of each other.
Oh, they
Holy
did?
Shit, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some weird brainwave
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like...
Two people invented the telephone at the same time, I guess. And so, yeah. Right.
So that's
I retract
thing.
My statement. It's still like it's still fucking
you,
weird.
You expressed that sentiment to me,
and you went
it made me wonder. Like, okay, how far apart did these games come out? Like, yeah. what is the pipeline that like did this game get stolen by that game or that game get
right? Like, did someone leave and like, hey, we did this thing?
Yeah, and it's like or... no, like they came upon the same idea.
Well, Titanfall did it way better.
So and both instances of this gimmick level that I'm talking about are interesting in Dishonored because of Dishonored, but they're better in Titanfall. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the entire level in Titanfall 2, where you're fucking, everything's moving the entire time, you're mm-hmm. on conveyor belts and there's fucking houses being built around you and shit, like, that level's crazy, and it doesn't overload me in the same way.
Like, so, what's the time travel level called in Dishonored 2?
It's that guy's mansion.
I want to address it by its Christian name. Okay, that guy's mansion. When I played it, I got a bit stumped in it, and so I spent a lot of time kind of dicking around trying to figure out how to get into the back room.
Yeah.
Which fine, I don't begrudge the level for me not figuring it out instantly. But what it did sort of result in is like I ended up spending too much time in the space,
mm-hmm.
and because I was already playing a really loud murder run, it eventually just sort of ground to a halt where I had killed everyone in the building, and this is just me using my shitty grappling hook to bounce around the level, like, trying to kick doors and shoot things,
right?
And, like, and so, like, the mystery and the awe of the level, mm-hmm. like, really loses its varnish.
So the murder run does that in general,
yeah.
Right? The murder run, like, you... When you clear a level out, nothing is a problem. There's nothing to work around.
Except for now you have no bad guy density leading you towards where you should
That's
be going.
True.
Because it's a game that largely relies on giving you blinking waypoints that you can see through walls to guide you to places, that when you run into a situation where the dialogue and the writing hasn't given you enough to figure out how to navigate to that point, you're kind of left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to go find the note that's in some corner.
Or you have to go find the YouTube
of
the no commentary playthrough. Because it's like, what the fuck did other people do?
Yeah.
Like, this has to be solvable, right?
Yeah, it's kind of an issue for me that I spent 5 minutes in the first room of the game not knowing what to do. Because there was never a tutorial for...
Yeah,
like,
this game kind of just assumes you know what you're doing in a way that's frustrating.
I feel like a lot... As someone who's never played Dishonored 1, I don't have a very clear sense of what happens in it other than you're taking back the throne. I'm hoping that the sparsity of many aspects of this game are a result that they are assumed
there's
knowledge from the prequel.
Yeah.
Because if they're not... Damn.
Yeah, no, I think it's a lot of assumed stuff because most of the things work similarly.
Yeah. I mean, like, narratively too. Like the plot of this game is the previously unknown heir to the throne arrives, mm-hmm. takes over the throne of this kingdom, of this imperialist power, and now I gotta get it back.
Yep.
And she used black magic to do it.
Yep.
And courtroom intrigue, which, like, whatever. we all do it. It's cool. But, like...
Yeah, nobody's gonna...
Nobody's gonna be mad about that.
Yeah. The last game you played as a murder person, and this game I also played as, like, a fucking weird ninja. So, like, don't get all high and mighty about the courtroom intrigue.
Right, right.
They're like, oh, someone's framed me as the crown killer. It's like... Okay, but, like, I'm not that crown killer, but, like, I am
a crown killer.
I am a crown killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they call you the Royal Protector, but they really should just call you a mass murderer.
Oh, no, that's the thing I love about the way I've played these games, is that Emily is, like, the smart one who doesn't kill anyone, and her dad is crazy murder hobo in my world. Like,
okay.
Like, in the first game, the way I beat the game is I just shithoused everything, killed everyone, super murder man.
So, like, on my playthrough, I played as Emily, and I, with the exception of fail state NPCs, where, so the game does the thing where if you point a gun at, what's her name, the lady who owns the tugboat, you lower your gun, you can still kill her with frag grenades. If you kill her, game over.
Yeah.
So, like, with the exception of those people and the shopkeeper, I killed literally every single person that I made line of sight contact with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, every civilian is just like, whatever, have a sword, baby. Like, I played Emily like she was a fucking revenant, coming with your mom
yelling at you the whole time, you're going down a bad path. It's like, I don't care.
So, so Owen, hot tip, last time you're on the boat, you can fucking kill him.
Oh, wonderful. Even better. He got a, you know, fucking Sokolov got a real weepy epilogue in my playthrough.
Yeah. If you kill them, those just don't happen.
I should have done that. I was annoyed with those epilogues.
Yeah. So I went and did some digging because I didn't actually do this, but I found the darkest timeline ending.
Okay.
Which is, you play as Corvo, you kill everyone, like literally you kill everyone, including the people on the boat at the end.
Okay.
And then you, so when you come out of the painting, what did you do?
I took my throne.
Okay. You straight up, okay, right, you're Emily.
Yeah.
Did you go fix Dad?
No.
Oh, okay. So
I assumed it was a binary.
Okay. So
that, like, you can either be good and save your papa, or you can assume power and be the emperor.
So it is actually set up that way.
Yeah.
But as Corvo, if you do that, you just walk by her, sit on the throne, and they refer to you historically as Corvo the Black. And they twist it in this way where it's like, so he decided to seize power and he left his daughter a statue because she was safe that way. And it's just like, what the fuck?
I mean, the inverse is the same thing. They call you Emily the Butcher, and your father is in the throne room with you, like he's your protector. Like, I need protection.
Right? Is he over your shoulder? Like,
he's to the, if I'm sitting in the throne, he's to the right of
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
this game doesn't fuck around with the dark timeline in a way I actually appreciate.
I guess.
So I saw a thing, like, I was Googling around, doing some Googles about this game before I really, like, got started with it, and they were talking about, like, so in the last game we had low and high chaos, and in this game we have that too, but you need to make, like, good decisions about who and when
there's
to kill.
Like, two.
And there's three.
Yeah.
there are three decisions that determine, like, what of the various, like, six endings you can get there are. And I was like, oh, that's, like, really disappointing, because it really should be a combination of everything that you did.
Right.
Right.
Although, also, with the game being how long it is, like...
Sure. I don't know. I try harder, though, I guess. I don't know. Like, this is an overarching thing of you need to actually have a writer for your video game.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I didn't expect a huge, like, BioWare RPG out of the writing in this, but I was still very let down. It's like, my motivations are to keep my monarch, like, my fucking monarchy.
Yeah.
And my motivations are, I guess, to save my father, but I don't care. I don't know him.
Right.
So I remember when I first played Dishonored 1, I was like, oh, they killed the emperor, I gotta get revenge. And I was, like, into it. I was, like, into the narrow, and I bought in. But then this one happened, and it's like, so wait, my motivation is I want to retain the status quo of an imperialist power. No, this also sucks.
So like, this empire seems like an very unjust society.
Right.
Like, they seem like they are doing horrible things to the world around them and to the nations around them. Mm-hmm. And Emily, when she talks about her time as, like, the sitting empress or whatever, like,
sounds
just
like
kinda,
she didn't do much.
It sounds like she didn't do much. She kind of resented having to participate in the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So, like, she's not a very sympathetic character.
So the dialogue changes based on how you play.
Okay.
So, like, those, like, Corvo becomes really quickly, when you start killing people, like, just angry murder man.
But like, from the outset, even before the cutscene plays where Corvo gets turned into a statue, yeah, and I have to start skulking around, She seems like she doesn't give a fuck.
It's true.
The implication is, so it's been 15 years since the last game. So right. she's like 27 or whatever.
Right.
Right. The implication based on back matter that you speak of is that Corvo and Emily have been sort of unilaterally running the empire.
Right.
And been doing a very bad job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like only focusing on what's directly in front of them.
Right.
And not.
So she's like kind of shit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's kind of shit too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're usurper, Delilah.
Yeah.
She is like her bloodline is such that she is the rightful heir, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no finagling.
Well, like
about
she's
that.
A bastard.
She's not like the fucking Duras like, sisters here, okay?
Yeah, but it's debatable because she's a bastard, I guess. But like,
okay.
Whatever.
So like, I don't actually have a good reason why she shouldn't be emperor, other than I don't like it because I'm not empress.
Right.
Also she's mean, but also like, and she's mean, but you're ineffectual.
Yeah.
Right.
And she uses evil magic. Mm, yeah. Guess what? So do you.
Yeah. 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 So the game like definitely takes on its flavor in a very different way if you try and play it like the harder, sneakier, nicer way.
It sort of seems like that the only person who's actually getting what they want or should have in this game is the outsider, and he's just mad that Delilah like stole from him.
So is the outsider like a space alien or
no? He's like a guy who was like the first guy to be murdered.
He was a person.
Yeah,
though.
He was a person.
Okay,
yeah.
I kind of got this like control vibe off of him, where like maybe he's like a cosmic intelligence.
There's this force called the Void that has something to do with whales and being outside of space and time, and he's the only thing in it that can speak.
Okay.
So whenever you interact with it, he's the person you speak to.
Okay.
And then in the DLC to this game, you kill him.
Great.
They did that to like, it's sort of interesting narratively because they did that to be like, okay, you can't just have him show up and do more of these games this way. If we're going to come back to this, we have to do something else.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully if they make a Dishonored 3, there'll be a third option in any situation.
If they make a Dishonored 3, I hope they do anything different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Because I too, as Owen was talking to me right when I was starting, he was like, dude, I'm tired of immersive sims being the exact same game every single fucking time.
Yeah, yeah, it's
right,
it's,
just visually flavor it differently.
It's diary entries,
mm-hmm.
It's superpowers, it's a silence pistol or a dart gun.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sword.
It's recordings.
That's with diaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lockpicks. Sometimes there's two kinds of lockpicks.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, there's one. It's
sticky mines.
Yeah, sticky mines. Thank you. It's
sticky mines that do different stuff.
Yeah,
like security systems to fuck with. This game has very disappointing security systems.
Yes, that's true.
The enemy that can't be stealth killed. Yeah,
yeah. Or what I was thinking of is the walls of light and the whale oil dispensers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's one where like to open a gate, it needs to be fueled by whale oil. It's like, ooh, I need to go find an empty canister, fill it up. Oh no, it's right behind me. It's always right there.
Yeah.
It's like why put it in?
It doesn't do the Half-Life make
why,
you work
why
for
put
it
thing. In at this point? Because what you've done is you've transformed a single button to open the gate into three buttons I press in sequence to open the gate.
Yeah. And yeah.
There's no play in finding containers and filling containers. Like the whale oil thing seems like a
it's set dressing.
Yeah. It's cool.
It was better in one.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
But it doesn't feel like it's used in an interesting
there
way.
There was a wall of light that I foiled by dropping a grenade 1 inch from it, and it was close enough that it blew up the whale canister.
Nice.
On the other side of the gate.
Oh man.
And I was just like, what was the point of this?
Yeah. I really like rewiring those gates because they don't kill you, but they kill everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's
pretty... Yeah, but everyone else was already dead.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. Like, there were so many times, because I briefly replayed the game partway through as Emily going hard and mm-hmm. killing everything
mm-hmm.
because I had played previously as Corvo doing all the nice options that take longer, right? But this is also one of those games where being mean is fast and being nice is long.
Yeah. Which is... Right. It's something I like it sometimes when I see it in games that I don't like it in games where there's a good and bad option and the rewards are roughly equal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are roughly equal to do.
Yeah.
You know, like basically it's a dialogue option. Do I shoot him in the face or do I say I love you?
Right.
Yeah.
And in this game, doing the right thing is hard.
It
because
is.
Doing the right thing is hard.
Yeah.
And also...
And crime, apparently, like crime does fucking pay.
Also,
you know?
Doing the right thing often seems worse to the victim. With Jindosh, you fucking zap him in that chair, and he just becomes an invalid. Like, which is kind of worse than killing him.
What if that guy sucks ass?
Oh, he totally sucks, but, like, it's rough. With the Duke, you conspire with his...
body double to put him in
jail. With body double to put him in jail, and you basically just both, like, gaslight that he's crazy and send him to jail. So he's just in jail ranting that he's the real one.
This sounds worse than killing them.
Right, so, like...
This is like...
So, like... That was what I was like, this is kind of fucked up when I was doing like the nice run.
Like the one you're talking about putting him in a coma or whatever. Yeah. It's like, okay, his quality of life has meaningfully improved in zero ways.
Right.
It has worsened the lives of more people.
Right. And you've gotten
And I'm doing it in the service of my own self-conception of my morality.
Right.
It's like way worse because I'm making everyone else's life worse to like jack myself.
You're taking
off
the technologist and you're fucking hobbling him mentally. Mm. And like you could probably do something to him to convince him to not be an asshole instead. Right. Okay. The only person you like actually help is Hypatia.
Yeah.
Because you cure her.
Okay.
You cure her so she isn't Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde bullshit.
Can I tell you about my encounter with Dr. Hypatia?
Yes.
Which also like fuck that name. Alexandria Hypatia. I was like, you go away, nerd. I came upon her and she's like the first of these people you're supposed to like hunt down, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the game is like a series of like basically hitman contracts.
Yes.
That are a part of a narrative. And you can choose to murder or not murder them.
Yeah.
So I came
you
upon
can choose to murder or cripple them.
Like, yeah.
Fuck.
And so in the case of Hypatia, it puts it to you that you should go talk to her.
Yeah.
That she is a good person.
Yeah.
And when I arrived in Hypatia's office, I had the elevation on her. I was like up in the rafters looking down on her. And I was like, it's not lowering my gun for me like it did with Megan
Foster.
Oh,
the tell wasn't... Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm just going to kill her. Like, I want to know what this game thinks should happen when I shoot her in the head right now.
Right.
And she got mad at me and started throwing coffee mugs at me, which was really funny. Because that's what people do when they can't reach you. and so I just shot her and killed her and, like, threw a grenade at her or something. And then, like, Emily's like, ah, oh, she's gone to evil when I went down there. I was like, what? And it was only like after
it's like a scripted thing you passed the barrier on, but yeah, you already killed her. So.
Yeah. And so it was only like I like examined her body and she looks all like spooky and corpse like.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I guess black magic.
Yeah. So I knew like the twist because she's supposed to turn on you when you pick up the note from the burnt guy.
Okay.
Is like the trigger in that situation is you like walk past her, you walk into the back, you read, or you may talk to him if he's still alive.
You talk to him.
You can talk to him. Yeah. Or if he's already dead, I think he's on a timer. But either way, you can pick up the note and it's like, oh, she's the fucking crown killer. And then she zerks out and you have to play like keep away from her, get rid of her sort of game.
Okay.
And the way
does she teleport around or something?
No,
is she one of those?
She just stalks.
Okay.
So like the first time I ran into that room, I was like, hey, you should be asleep because you're not useful to me and you could maybe alert some guards. And sure. I'm just not into it.
You're right? Just pragmatic. You should, not putting
not
her
feeling
to sleep.
It.
You should be asleep. It's better for you. It's better for me. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm straight up just not having a good time.
Well, it was just like from my perspective, it's like there's no reason for you to be awake because it could result in you dying because I'm going to throw explosives around here. And you seem like a good person, so I'm putting you to sleep. And when you put her to sleep, she bucks you off and then turns and starts fucking you up.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, cool, blam, blam.
Yeah, like anytime when she's regular Hypatia and you interact with her in a combat sense, she like zerks out. So in mine, I snuck up behind her, slit her throat, she falls over, gets up, and I'm like, no, you don't get to do that. So I click again and just stab her in the face and it's done. Like,
you should have done the way I did. She'll throw coffee mugs at you.
That there was fun the couple of times there was like guards with no guns, like the skinnier guards.
Yeah.
Right? And they just throw fucking rocks at you.
Yeah.
You're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It sucks if you're trying to get away and they hit you. Because it like stun locks you for a second.
Okay.
And so like it's really fucking
No, I was
annoying.
Just like staring at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did that to me, and then I threw a grenade at them.
I love the grenade throwing reticle in this game.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's not the grenade throwing reticle I want in every game, but in this game, it's the right kind of my grenade going to where the reticle says.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want this reticle in PUBG, for example, but it's really great when you're in a panicked combat and it's just like, grenade in that corner, like run.
Yeah,
run,
and,
shoot,
and
shoot,
the
shoot,
cooking
stab,
reticle
stab.
On it is
too. The cooking reticle is very good. I want that in more games.
Yeah.
That's a good reticle.
Yeah, so like...
more UI in games. Hey, quick sidebar. You know what game has terrible UI and I fucking hate it?
What?
Gang Beasts.
Yeah.
That game has fucking terrible menus.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, if you've ever played that game with kids, which I know you guys haven't, but I have, every single time, they never know which character they are, and they just keep slamming A and B until they know which character they are, but they make no effort to engage with trying to figure that out.
There's
or
no
use,
pause
like,
in between.
Holistic methods or anything. So there's no difference between the menu that sets the settings for whatever match you're playing and selecting your character and skin. So everybody's down here trying to figure out who the fuck they are, mm-hmm. right? Because they all join at the same time, because they're kids. So it's literally, like, everybody's rolling their face on the controller at the same time, and then you'll end up in like soccer mode and the kids are jamming A a bunch, and then the game will start and then they all jam B at the same time, and then we're back to the start menu, and it's like,
beautiful,
holy fuck.
Yeah, that sounds,
it's just too much nervous energy. Like, their really menus can't handle that much nervous energy, right? The way that, like,
you need to do the 9-year old test.
Well, because if you guys played Pummel Party.
No.
Played that for the first time the other day. That game has beautiful party game menus because there's a lot of information on screen. You know exactly who you are, and you can't accidentally, like, start something.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? Unless you're all the way through all these, like, layers of menus. Anyway.
That's good. There's one thing I want to shout out in Dishonored I really, really liked that I wish more games in this space did. There's a lockpicking tool in this game, and you go up. And you activate it, and then it has happened.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking it.
Yep.
I don't need to play fucking Pipe Dream. I don't need to...
Yeah. Don't make me jiggle some shit.
I don't need to look at an x-ray of a lockpick.
Yeah.
Talk about a pace killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and like in that game, like, there's a lot
this
of...
game does pace well.
There's a lot of really, like, silly shit you can get up to once you understand this game's systems. Mm-hmm. In a way where, like, I can go slap that thing on a door, turn around, teleport over there, stab that guy, shoot that dude in the face, come back, the door is open, right? Like, there's a lot of weird, dumb anime shit you can get up to in this game when you know what you're doing.
This
in
game,
a way that,
there's,
like,
all sorts of could do
yeah.
that's awesome,
yeah.
but why?
Yeah.
When the single most effective thing I could be doing is sneaking around with evil eye on, blinking from spot to spot, killing everyone I see, or choking them out.
I just made the murder courses at some point. Like, it was like, oh, I've been through this level before. How can I kill everyone really quickly?
Right, but I'm trying to just play the game once, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, from a Heat Signature sort of situation, right, in Heat Signature, I get into a situation where I fuck up, and then all of a sudden I'm forced to grapple with what are my options mm-hmm. outside of the normal optimum way to play,
right?
Which this game never forces me to do anything outside my comfort zone, so why would I, yeah. right? And I get that that's, like, a choice that I'm making,
yeah.
but the game's not asking me, it's not even, like, begging the question with a situation where I come around the corner and I look at the way the guards are set up and I'm like, oh, this would be a perfect time to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, because
I didn't unlock that power.
I mean, players will always destroy their own fun if it's incentivized.
Right.
Like, do you remember when we played Payday 2 a lot and we figured out the optimal way to level up and make money was to, like, fail out of the first stage of rats
over and over,
yeah,
and over again.
And do, like, basically the exact wrong way on purpose in a very specific way. And it was, like, the fastest way to level up in the game. And so we just did that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, it loses all the charm and panache of Payday 2. But
yeah.
it's like, if you design the game that way, the players do it.
Right, right, right. And so, like, Dishonored's a very good example of that because you have to buy into the dumb shit they want you to do. And
well,
if you don't.
I'm saying the next time they make a Dishonored, make it so that I don't have to buy in.
Yeah.
That it's that
we'll force it better.
From the beginning, I have the crap low rent version of turning into a rat, and I don't have to want to do that
and
plan for that.
The opportunities for players to do a very unfun thing that is more optimal, I think, should be viewed as quicksand that exists in your game, and you, like, and it's hard to identify.
Right.
When you're developing a game, I think, and even when a game's in early access, but once that game gets in a million hands, you will instantly see
yeah.
the quicksand that players are stepping
in. Which
is
run around with a gun and shoot those guys and stab them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of your players are going to be doing the boring thing, and is that really what you spent all that dev time to
right.
have happen?
And that's the frustrating
no.
part.
Because
yeah.
because every time I boot up a Bethesda game, every time I go, I'm going to make a guy who wears heavy armor and hits things with his big sword and has a and then I'm walking out 10 minutes later, I'm rolling around in leather armor with
yep.
a bow, crouching everywhere,
yep.
and I'm like,
yep.
ah, fuck, it happened again. Right?
Yep.
And maybe I have a little bit of illusion magic this time to spice things up.
Right, but that's completely
but
off.
But goddamn, did
end.
I fall into that quicksand,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
Yep.
Shit, man, immersive sims.
Yeah. Did you guys engage at all with like the notes and diaries and
nope.
shit?
I stopped okay. reading them after level one.
I did on my first run through.
I read a few and I never felt it's all fine. Like everything in this game is reasonably competently done, but it's like I never felt like I got my time's worth.
Well, and it's like it's not like if you're not invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like,
oh yeah,
like I'm invested in it from the first game, so there's a certain amount of like, oh, what's different,
right? Well, so like the bone charms and runes, which I went and got all of because
yeah.
I'm an asshole. I what was it what we said for that train game that you made us play, the Iron Dumbass. I am the Iron Dumbass. Oh, yeah. Right. And so I went around and I collected all the runes and
oh,
the bone charms
did.
And so after you do that, since there are already called out on the screen, the only reason to explore is for coinage. But if you're only playing fast or you're only playing stealth,
yep.
then there are only like certain things I want to upgrade, and I got all those upgrades,
right.
so
yep.
I have no reason to get money anymore.
Yeah, there's certain right? like item caches in places, but they don't mark them well, and so like it's
but okay, so I could explore for 10 minutes and maybe get a rewire tool, which I ain't even gonna fucking use,
okay,
because there's a better way around.
I only came across like two rewire tools in the whole game, and I know it's not because there's only two rewire tools in the game. It's because that's just not the way I interacted with those environments.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And like I do want to also like draw attention to like the environments in this game are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like anyone who makes games in this space would look at this game and see it for what it is. Like it's got that bespoke like whole kitchen sink design to every house.
Yeah,
you know, there's all this like lightly interactable minutia, all the typewriters you can click one key in.
Yeah.
and like they did the thing in Prey that I hate, where if you turn the sinks on, the sinks turn themselves off.
Yeah.
Which I think is bullshit.
Yeah.
In an immersive sim, sinks yeah. don't fucking do that, especially not in fucking Karnaka or
Look,
whatever.
I've yeah. played Hitman, okay? When I turn the sinks on, they stay on,
yep.
and guards come investigate them, and I rip their heads off.
Yeah.
Right? So, yes, that is what the sinks do now in immersive sims,
yep.
sir. But, I mean, I don't want to bag on this game because there is fun here.
Right.
There is a system where this is fun. There is a way that this is fun. Maybe I just saw Star Wars recently, but I'm fucking sick and tired of looking at wasted potential in the media that I enjoy, right?
Yep.
I am sick of it.
Well, and like the playthrough I played where I took my time and I was sneaky and I did the right thing, like the narrative ending is actually satisfying. Like you do things and you like there's that binary choice of help the gang member or kill the overseer guy
mm-hmm.
To get into the mansion. And if you kill the overseer guy, like, that place sees a general benefit. Like, the people do better there.
Okay, you ready for some galaxy brain?
Yeah.
Kill both of them.
I did.
You
I
ready
did
for,
in my
you
second
ready for some even more galaxy brain? Send them both to the salt mines as slaves.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did.
Yeah.
So, I want to try and tease out how reactive, in what ways this story is reactive
there
a little bit.
There are four pressure points.
Okay, yeah. Well, so hold on. I want to ask about something specific. Delilah,
yeah,
espouses a perspective and worldview that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if she were empress. They she has lived a horrible and downtrodden life, and
yes,
she
right.
has suffered horribly
yeah.
under the empire. And someone from a fucking low walk of life is now going to be in charge of running the empire,
right?
Who is like hopefully at least slightly sensitive to the people below,
right?
So.
But when we actually see how she's gained control of the throne room, she just killed everyone and broke everything and
yeah.
piled up garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And she's a total shithead. So when you, from what I gather from sort of the back matter and like reading a little bit and stuff, she was planning on transforming everyone into those statues.
Okay.
So that the world is like perfect and controlled and shit. And the good ending for her is sending her into the painting where that is the case. And making her believe that that is the real world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, yeah, I mean, come on. Like, I don't know, man. That's just what it was, right?
Yeah, this kind of feels like how, and this isn't like a drag against this other game I'm about to mention, how in the Hitman games, the people, your targets, are, like, the most evil people on Earth.
Yeah.
So that no matter how much of a fucking nightmare murder person you are,
they're still worse.
Yeah, you are still making the world a better place
yeah.
by doing
yeah,
what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
Where, so, like, it almost feels like Delilah is designed in such a way so that no matter what the fuck I do in this game, she is still worse than me.
Right. Right. And so, like that's the, she needs to be the bad guy, like, writing, right?
So I was curious if that was, like, a thing where, like, if I'm evil, she gets more evil, or if she's always that evil.
No, she's always a bitch.
Okay. So when you like, work your way through things and you non-lethal people, like, your character actually understands that, like, these situations you've been in are really fucked up, and they actually do something about it at the end, right? Like,
okay.
Like, when you replace that Duke with the other guy, like, that dude's actually pretty chill, and he's nice, and he's like, that guy's a fuckboy, why would I do it the way he does?
Yeah, but he's not nice on High Chaos, though.
No, but that's because High Chaos, like, this game has a weird morality of, like, when you kill people, everyone gets bad. Yeah. And, like, that's kind of fucked up in its own way, like...
This is some George Lucas shit.
Yeah, and so, like,
You need to ground your axioms, boy.
Do albino rats do something special?
They're another bone charm where when you can eat them for mana.
Okay. I got a bone charm that just says more rats are albino, and I was like, that's
They should cool. show up in an alternate order, is what should happen.
Okay, because I didn't see the other one, so I never understood what this bone charm did for me exactly.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I left it equipped the whole game, because fuck it.
Yeah, white rats are cool.
Yeah. You killed both the gang leader and...
I killed everyone.
Yeah, okay.
I killed everyone.
Yeah, so, like, I thought the levels in this game were cool. Like, the Clockwork House...
Shout-outs to this game for having a disabled character and a trans character front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just putting that out there.
So, with the Clockwork House, when I started that level, and I figured out, like, what this house is.
Yeah,
you hit a lever and the room transform, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever find... it at all useful or interesting to get into the, like, behind the stage spaces?
Yes.
Okay. Because I did it once and found it pretty useless.
So, sneak game, that's the way you do that level.
Okay. I guess that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because, like, in that first room where you first fight that clockwork guy, and I was like, oh, cool. Look.
You mean run away from him?
Yeah.
no, that's because I'm just.
Yeah. Like, I got on the floor and I, like, mucked around down there and I was like, oh, yeah, it's all this shit that I just made disappear.
Yeah.
And then I came out and I was like, all right, whatever. Let's just shoot everyone.
So, there is a way
you
from.
You can get down there while it's up.
Yeah. There's a way from that first position where if you go left into that space, there is, like, a hallway that leads into the rest of it.
There's like, there's some, like, nice ductwork you can get into
there's
that,
like,
bypasses a lot of the level.
Okay. To a lot of it.
Okay.
But you have to find that initial spot.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was initially, like, I remember, so this game came out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when this game came out, I listened to a lot of games podcasts. And, like, everyone was like, oh, my God, the Dishonored. Oh, my God. and then the Clockwork Mansion. The Clockwork Mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, when the Clockwork Mansion came along, I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I get what its shtick is, like, what it does, but, like, I don't get why everyone's all goo-goo over it.
It sucks. It kind of sucks.
It's, like, if what you said is true about it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
but like I missed that completely.
Yeah.
And it's just that I wrote it off very quickly, like, when I saw what it was.
The same way the game says, there's all these paths. That level just has paths that move.
So, remember, you were talking about being in an empty level with no bad guys. And not knowing where to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a full level of bad guys I couldn't kill, whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to because I was playing a pacifist run, not knowing where to go and backtracking all over the place. So I have a very sort of firm, entrenched belief that level kind of blows.
Okay.
But that's mostly based on my own experience. And the fact that GamesCrit people were excited about that level makes me angry at them and makes me feel like they're incurious final men, to quote Nietzsche. Right? Like, I know I'm being overblown
cool,
here,
buddy.
But that's my sort of knee-jerk reaction to that kind of, like, you were like, oh, people were excited about this level. I'm like, that level? Really?
Well, but in, like, 2016 or whatever, like, I can see how that's cool, right? Like,
yeah, but I'm just saying that was my initial reaction to what you said, and I thought that was worth mentioning. So.
Yeah, so if you want to buy into this game, you can do some cool shit, but if you want to just fuck around, it's absolutely breakable. in that way that we've talked about.
I do kind of like, there's a certain design philosophy of like, yeah, I mean, you could just shoot them.
You could just be a shithead. Go for it.
There's so many games like this where it's like, no, you need to do the grandiose way of defeating the enemy. It's like, nah, man, just fucking shoot them.
Right.
There's a lot of games like this, though, like immersive sim type games where like the third or fourth path is you are John Rambo.
Yeah.
And it's never a great option. Like I'm thinking of like System Shock and Deus Ex and things like that. Like, you can do it, and the game systems support it, but it is kind of the worst out of
it's the most options. Vapid option.
Yeah, it's like, I guess you could play, like, you can play Deus Ex Human Revolution as like a cover shooter, and it's not designed to be a great cover shooter, so it's never going to be a great one. And this is the immersive sim where I feel like the dial has been turned, so that option is more viable. And all the other options are like less interesting than what I've played in other immersive sims.
Okay.
With the way parrying works in this game and with the sheer amount of tools that you can reactively use, fighting things head on is not the worst option in the world in this game. I did it several times. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I did it loads of times. It's mostly the skill set there becomes how effectively can you size up how many people are in the arena you're
in? Yeah.
And it becomes
about dealing with them quickly.
And so once you have a handle on how many people are actually here, not just how many people can I instantly notice.
Right.
Then you can start making like in your head, like decision branches about how to engage things. But like actually charging at people head on in this game, I think is actually very fun. And
So this game has a really good, like, this game has a really good stealth game measurement of, like, the combat doesn't suck, so that when shit goes bad, you can be the murder monster you need to be in that situation in a way that I really appreciate, while it also is, like, and also, like, that's easier in game terms. So, like, it's sort of interesting because, like, the stealth option is almost always the harder work. And you just feel clever because you did it right.
Yeah, I got to appreciate most of the time when I shoot a person in the head, they die.
Yeah.
Right?
The pistol in this feels incredibly powerful. Yeah. Like you basically have a single shot, like big shotgun.
Yeah.
You have a big fucking elephant gun.
Yeah.
Like functionally. I know or it doesn't
even,
look like
even
it,
if you shoot a dude in the chest, he staggers enough that you get an instant kill on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
which I really appreciate. Like, making the enemies feel like they're following the same rules as me is a thing that I really like in games. Like when strategy games and shit have to cheat for the AI to do well, I despise that. Even though I understand on like an intellectual level,
you broke the rules
that like in Total War the greenskins need to cheat a little bit, or you're just gonna steamroll them because the AI is a moron.
Yeah,
right. It's like, but in this, the fact that like if I get shot, boy, does that fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And if they get shot, like, they're pretty much dead unless I hit them in the arms.
Right.
Or the helmet. Right. But I like that about the overseers. You shoot them in the helmet and they're like, what? Right? They're like, dang.
Yeah, but those dudes. I don't like those helmets, though. They look dumb.
Yeah, they're pretty
dumb. The primary antagonist in the first
game. Corvo's mask looks dumb.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, like, they're the primary antagonist in the first game, so it's supposed to be like a reflection.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
This reflection sucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I frequently eat peanut butter, and I put it on my toast and things like that. And that's the way that I like to engage with narrative themes, is in the correct way. These people like to peanut butter kid. Right? Like with their, sorry, that was a little but we got there.
Took a minute, but yeah.
There's something about the way everything in this game looks that like never quite lands for me too.
Brink.
What?
The people look like Brink people.
Not just their faces. Okay. Like they do have like weird lumpy faces, and their hands are weird. Especially the men's hands are weirdly big.
They look like Brink people.
Yeah. But there's like it's this whole like steampunk adjacent thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which like I actually, the distance it has from steampunk actually makes it palatable to me.
Yes.
That part's fine, but everything looks too cool. Like for me to believe that it's like alternate 19th century or whatever, no one looks dweeby enough. Everyone's wearing like, honestly, like kind of like late 2010s fashion. Like everything looks like very slick and very cool. And it's just like, I don't know. Some of the shit needs to look dopier.
Yeah.
Especially the more important people.
I mean, this is a problem I had with Deus Ex. You know, the average NPC you run in on the street looks fucking wild, right? And then, like, these people, like, all the gentlemen you run into outside are these ropey, leather-backed turtle men.
Well,
right?
And there's no diversity of idea or aesthetic.
Right.
It is a huge monoculture, and right. Everyone dresses the exact same way. It was a problem. I had a similar problem with Prey in the same way. I had a harder time teasing out what it was that bugged me about it. But like, there's really not any suggestion that any other culture exists.
Right.
That everyone dresses this way. Everyone eats the same foods. I guess in Karnaka they got blood flies, but like, whatever.
Instead
it's the
of
same
rats.
Shit. Yeah.
Instead of, we had rats last time. Now we got flies.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other thing is, if you've played Dishonored 1, everybody looked the same in that game, and now they look the same in a different way in this game, right?
Yeah, and like I think a lot of it's like they spent their time on the environments, not on the people, right? Like I think a lot of it's video game-esque
stuff. Yeah, part of it is definitely that the game's focuses aren't in making like living city environments the way I expect in other immersive sims, and I'm not dragging this game specifically because like this game isn't Deus Ex, and Deus Ex is my platonic ideal,
right.
But it's like their focus was very obviously not creating like marketplaces of people going about their business, and you happen to be the cyber commando skulking amongst
right.
them. Like these environments are mostly combat arenas
yeah.
with the occasional civilian that you have the opportunity to kill if you feel like being a real asshole.
This is a powers playground.
Yeah
And I think that's like fundamentally like what's cool about it, but you also have to want to do that.
I remember on the first level I broke into some guy's house and I was like, cool, there's gonna be like a whole hat, and then I go down the first hallway, I'm like, oh, and there's just like this enormous metal plate there where they're like, oh, this house is blocked off because it's full of flies, and I'm like, oh, that's how you do it. Okay, I see. This is a facade.
I get it.
Yeah. These are fucking like, what are they, the they're not paper towns, but like the old western facade towns, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not that big, but
it made, a lot of times it made the combat arenas feel like multiplayer maps.
You could absolutely like put a shooter.
Dude,
in
I would
any of
love
these maps.
A Dishonored. Because remember how Deus Ex 1 had the worst multiplayer in the world? Just Lamb City, baby, Lamb City and Geps.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, God. So yeah, like those, they're very much like an Unreal Tournament guy went pro and like decided to make some cool ass maps.
Yeah, they feel like that, like all the way the ledges are spaced and like but it has like much nicer dressing to suggest that it's actually a part of a city without like really going the distance to make it feel like it's part of the city. But it's like, oh yeah, you're obviously part of a city, but like also all the streets are blocked off within like one block radius.
Yeah, if you've seen the concept art for this game, it's very clear that the concept artist like had the run of the design, because like tons of paintings and stuff from the first game, you look at the game and you're like, yeah, you did that, didn't you? Like, which is fine. That's absolutely cool that someone can do that. But, you know, it only goes so far as like what they're doing, right? Like, okay, cool.
Well, shit, man.
What's next? We gotta give it some bad.
Yeah,
we gotta
throw numbers at this shit. Does Gaia out of 5? How many?
This guy is like a tactical RPG, right?
Yeah, it is a tactical RPG that is goofy and cartoony and very, very deep. I can't think of any similarities besides the tactics.
It's got RPG like light RPG systems in it, but they're not super deep. This game's setting thinks that it is extremely cool, and it isn't goofy. It doesn't poke fun at itself very much, from what I've seen. It does it like a tiny bit here and there, but
it's pretty self-serious.
It's a very self-serious game, so I don't know, like maybe give it 1 because they both got skill points, I guess.
I feel like I feel like Dishonored 2 is like 3 steps from Grimdark.
I can definitely imagine like a Dishonored where like the self-seriousness is turned up like another notch, and it instantly becomes insufferable.
Yeah
It's about 1 notch from insufferable.
Yeah,
it's like grim,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's no dark.
Yeah,
it's fully lit.
Yeah,
grim. You're in a tropical paradise, but grim
grim flies, grim rats.
Vermin and people vermin, people.
Spooky outside guy.
Architecture vermin, darkness void vermin. Yeah. Grim.
Evil machines.
Yeah. Don't you get spooky it? The Empire's literally guy. Rotting.
Toothed whales.
Yeah. Those whales are fucking sweet.
Yeah, they're fucking rad. The whales
are cool. What if the game was more about the whales?
It never is enough for me. They're always like whale oil, and then occasionally you see a whale corpse, but that's it.
And they have a huge fucking teeth.
I saw one whale swimming.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. In the there's like a part where they invite you to look through the telescope at like the Duke's mansion or something.
Okay.
And the timing was such that when I looked, like a whale was breaching in the harbor at the time. And I was like, oh, cool, whale. Can I look at the whale?
Yeah, so that's cool.
Megan, take the boat over there. I want to go pet it.
Deep Rock Galactic.
Ooh, this thing does have a shitty grappling hook.
I'm so glad we're having this comparison again. Yep, hooray. Yep. Let me just take my microphone and punch myself in the gut.
I'd give it like 1 or 2 stars.
Sure.
Deep Rocks on that. Like,
I don't care. Curveball Space Program.
No.
None. Zero.
Oh, it sounds good. Overcooked.
The Curveball Award seemed like one that would be a useful thing that was different from the other games.
Yeah.
But it just really results in we give a lot of zero Kerbals.
Not many things have the same sensibilities.
But even just like, we just haven't been playing technical games.
Yeah.
Like if we played more Flight Sims.
Yeah.
All right.
More gauges.
Overcooked. I actually want to give this game a 2 because there is the capability to have that plate spinning moment.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with a 2. There's a little bit of like, oh, I want to take out the
and
whale.
And there's definitely like, oh, fuck.
Like, I want to take out the whale oil out of this thing before anyone notices. Oh, no, someone noticed me. I leave behind him. Oh, I can't drop the whale oil. Oh, I'll blow myself up.
Yeah. This game wants more Gone Home points than it's going to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
0.
Yeah. I saw the end of this game right from the beginning. My understanding of all the characters transformed in really no way. I felt no magnetism to read any of the ephemera around me, even though the game is filled with it.
There's no emotional content to any of it. Like, yeah. There's no, like...
Thanks, Bruce Lee. Yeah.
Sorry, it neither flows nor crashes. Yeah. What do you want from me?
It dies. All right.
It's a block of ice. This is the wrong kind of water, my friend.
Sure. Keenan, hit us with a Guybrush 3-foot.
I think Guybrush gets stuck in a blood fly house.
Hello? Help.
Help. What do I do? These pencils don't do anything.
No. Here we go. Emily sits upon the throne. To her right, the statue of her father, Emily the Butcher. To her left, this guy, also a statue.
He's like, hey, did you also have a statue problem? Because it's literally like, my God.
Yep.
Yeah. Jesus.
Okay.
Or maybe she goes to a support group and he's there.
My dad's a statue. What? My girlfriend's a statue.
Oh, weird.
Weird. He's like, I have a black magic antagonist. Me too.
Okay. And to be fair, like, their area is the mainland for Monkey Island, right?
It is a ton of islands.
Yeah.
Like, and it is, like, this setting's got to have some dope-ass pirates, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we finally unraveled this cookie. They exist in the same universe.
Yeah.
Shoot. Oh, no, I get it. So all the stuff that's happening around Guybrush in the same universe sucks all the fun and levity out of all the parts that the Caldwins are in.
Yep.
That's damn. Good.
It's, yeah, all right.
So we're playing another game next week.
Yes, what is it?
We're going to play Disco Elysium.
And then the week after that.
We're going to play Disco Elysium some more.
Okay.
It's so big.
We're going to do it in 2 steps. Okay, yeah. I need to double check on this for sure. So if you're playing along at home, first of all, we love you. And second of all, we'll probably play up to the start of day 3. I need to look at my old save files and figure out if that's a good split point.
Okay.
But that's about what we're shooting for.
Is the end of day 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I need to double check at home where I was at that point in the game.
Okay. So the point is we're going to do half of it. And then
we're going to do half of Disco Elysium, and then we're going to do the other half.
Cool. I'm excited.
All right. So we don't have anything else to talk about, do we?
No.
So Twitter?
Yeah, if you want to contact us, you can reach us at BadPlaceL on Twitter. You can send us emails and documents at badplaceL@gmail.com.
You'll get a game code.
Yeah, you can find us anywhere where podcasts are hosted. And if you want to visit our website, you can find us at shame.club and shame.business.
Also, I would highly encourage you to get off of Facebook.
Yeah. We ain't fucking with Facebook.
So we'll talk to you next time. Disco Elysium. Oh, and do you want to give them a small like primer of what Disco Elysium is? Like, let's sell them on the game. Let's do
Disco Elysium is a RPG where you play as an amnesiac detective, which sounds like a cliche, but I think this game actually uses it brilliantly. Your character has no idea of who he is, and not just who he is and like what his job is and where he lives, but like he doesn't know who he is as a person, like ethically and morally. And so it's a game about assimilating and processing ideas and thoughts and people around you.
It's a game about critical thinking.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Shit yeah.
I'm excited. I hope to see you there. And if you contact us in any way, Keenan will send you a video game.
I can figure that out.
Later.